I'm Pat Chesbro, and I am running for the U.S. Senate. I am a Democrat, and I am a teacher. I always say that I'm a teacher because that's what I did my whole life. I was a teacher, and then a principal, which is a teacher of teachers, and then I was a superintendent, which was a teacher of principals, and then I worked at the university and helped people to become principals, and for 1 year I was an interim dean at UAA at the College of Education. So I've pretty much imbued in education my whole life. I'm running for office because I want to support Democratic principles, both with the big D, Democratic, from the Democratic Party, and the small D. I think democracy is pretty important. So I'm running for office because I think we need to look out for what's going on, and I'm especially concerned about what's happening and what might happen with our children and grandchildren with the decisions we're making today.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that. What sort of decisions being made today do you think should be maybe made a little bit differently to preserve the lives of our children and grandchildren?
Well, I think the recent Supreme Court decisions, especially the Roe v. Wade one, is taking away a right that people have had for 50 years. I think the EPA decision that is deterring the regulatory powers of trying to help our air and water and be clean. I think that's a bad one. I think we still need to separate church and state. I think we need to be pretty intentional about curbing gun violence. It's a very important piece, and we're seeing it over and over again. And that doesn't mean taking people's guns away, but it means being sensible about what we sell and what we do with guns.
So the Congress recently passed a package of reforms around gun violence. I'm curious what else you think should be done on a federal level to address gun violence.
Well, I think we could actually, as I said, make a little more sense. I think longer waiting periods might help those people, for especially the suicide rate, when people just grab a gun and shoot themselves. If they had to wait a while to get the gun, that might make a difference. I think even a mechanical thing like a trigger guard that came along with the gun that you bought would be important. I think really insisting on gun safety. When for children, I heard of actually, Jesse Keel from Juneau teaches sixth graders hunter safety in school, gun safety. And I think that is a wonderful thing that we should be teaching so that you know how to store guns safely, you know that they're not toys and they shouldn't be treated as toys. And they're important tools for so many things. We need to protect people's right to have guns, but I think we need to make sense about guns. And I'm very concerned about gun violence.
So getting back to Roe v. Wade, you mentioned earlier, what do you think what would you as a U.S. senator do to, protect abortion rights?
I think they're reproductive rights, and I think that it goes beyond abortion. It's taking care of pregnant people. It's making sure we have maternal care. People talk about being pro-life. I am. I'm pro-children. I'm pro-healthy mothers. I'm pro-healthy families. I'm pro those kinds of things. And I am not in the position to decide when someone should decide either to begin or end a pregnancy. And I don't think anybody is. I don't think you can sit in a seat and say, well, you should and you should not. And I'm especially concerned with the fervor about punishing physicians, healthcare people who are helping people who need help. I think of that 10-year-old girl, I just shudder to think that anybody would think that that child should bear a child.
And getting back to issues that affect people generations to come, I'm curious what you think should be done on a federal level to combat climate change.
Well, obviously, climate change is a crisis. It's not a let's wait till tomorrow. We've been kicking the can down the road for quite some time. I think incentives for renewable energy. I think a real concentration on that. I think de-incentivizing drilling for oil. I mean, I know that we're a resource state. I know that we've been treated very generously by some of the things that have happened in our state, but it's also been destroying some things in our state, and I think we need to be careful that we find other ways. I heard someone talk once about the fact that Alaska could be a laboratory for renewable energy. We have thermal, we have tidal, we have solar, we have wind, we have so much available to us, and we have small communities that are getting sometimes the fuel flown in, and how expensive is that? And it seems like maybe we could try to find localized ways to help people get energy in ways that don't rely on that kind of thing.
I'm curious what you think some other important issues are that you might work on in the U.S. Senate.
I believe that we are, as I said earlier, I think we're not leaving a world for our children and grandchildren that we should. We're diminishing the opportunities for pensions. Unions are becoming weaker across the nation. Our whole language of hate, language of lies, to have 18-year-olds feel like they have to either go into a school or a grocery store and shoot people, I think that signals that we have some real important issues to address in this country by the way we operate, the way we talk, and we need to be nicer to each other, for one thing. I think it's scary to me what we're doing and the reaction of our children.
Another one of those issues that I think is one that affects our children and our children's children is the sort of survival of democracy. It seems like we're in this moment where democracy is very much in the balance. And I'm curious what you believe the Congress can do to instill faith in elections and help get us back to a world where, you know, our democratic institutions are a little bit more trusted.
Well, again, I think we have to demonstrate that we trust our systems. And we have seen a siege on the systems. It seems like if my candidate gets elected, there's no fraud. But if that candidate gets elected, there's fraud. I mean, seeing all these people around the country who are saying, well, the election was stolen from Trump, but they just got elected. And they're not saying it was fraud that elected me. So I think they are safe. I think if you actually look at the data, the data show that our elections are safe. One of the think tanks that's actually a conservative think tank has done years of study about fraud in voting and finds very little. And so we can't just say things. We need to be able to back them up. Maybe we need to examine how we research things. Maybe we need to talk about research. Maybe we need to talk about the evidence, and maybe that would help. But I think we're not going to change Congress unless we change the people in Congress, because they've become enculturated with that kind of attitude, that kind of not working together. If I say that's blue, then you say, no, it can't be blue, it's red. That's not a way to demonstrate how we can get along together and how we can respect each other and fight for this flag. I'm on the Planning Commission of the Mat-Su Borough, and every time before the meeting we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and then I'd listen to the words, and I think I wonder if we really believe the words anymore. Are we indivisible? Are we really in liberty and justice for all? I wonder.
So I want to talk a little bit about your opponent and Lisa Murkowski and sort of the distinctions that you see between your platform and her record.
I know she's worked hard in her job all these years. I think she was fortunate that she was able to get the job, first of all, from her dad, and that's great. I feel like she sometimes lets us down with her decisions. And I will just use the Roe v. Wade thing for an example. So she says she's pro-choice, but she's pro-choice with restrictions. If I am a doctor and I don't believe in abortion, I will not have you do an abortion like it, and that's protected. Those kinds of things to me do not mean that you really are pro-choice. So that's one specific difference between us. I think the whole choosing of the Supreme Court, I cannot not believe that that wasn't a setup. When we look at Merrick Garland and we look at Amy Coney Barrett, you cannot really say that we used the same criteria to choose those. But Lisa Murkowski voted for Roberts and Alito and Gorsuch and Coney Barrett, and she didn't vote against Kavanaugh. So five of the six that have overturned Roe v. Wade and done these other things, she supported. And I don't think she's, I'm not sure she's nasty or mean or anything like that, but I can't believe, having been there 20 years, she was not aware of this intentional way of making that Supreme Court. And I'm actually worried. They're young people. They have lifetime things, and I'm actually worried about what might happen in the future with the decisions that they might make.
All right. Well, I just wanted to go ahead and open it up, if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about or any closing comments that you wanted to offer.
Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate this because it is difficult, as you know, to run against any incumbent. Someone who's been there, the Murkowski name has been there for 2/3 of our statehood in that seat. And so that's, it's a well-known name, and you have to admire a family that's given so much to this state. And sometimes it's good to get another perspective in. And I am a Democrat, as I said earlier, with a big D, but I also think it's important to have someone out there saying something different, having a choice. I believe in choice. I believe in choice in many, many ways. And so I hope people can look me up, chesbroforalaska.com, and make a choice. This time we have ranked choice. And find the person that your values most closely aligned with and vote that person. And then the next person in line and down the line you get to choose four. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.